The U.S. and China are miles apart from a deal, according to Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. The U.S. and China are in the middle of a 90-day trade truce as they work on a possibly very ambitious deal. An agreement in such a short period of time would be a heavy lift, given all the wide disagreements over intellectual property and government subsidies. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said as much when he told CNBC this morning that the U.S. and China were, quote, miles apart on a deal. And yet, markets were spooked. Futures immediately dropped. We've got Diane Swonk with us to help us out with this. She's chief economist at tax and advisory firm Green Thornton. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
Why were markets so disappointed by this comment by the secretary?
It's really a reality check. Markets had been artificially buoyant and sanguine about what was going on between the U.S. and China, and we had heard mixed messages coming out from the administration. You just can't close the gap between here and what the U.S. wants China to be and what China wants itself to be in the future over 20 years of disagreements in a few months' time. And so further complicating things, I think, also that markets weren't really understanding is the government shutdown means that all the details of trade negotiations can't be written because the U.S. Trade Office is also shut down.
Why were markets' hopes up in the first place?
You know, that really is an interesting issue, is that how much algorithms are now playing on words. You really saw the markets rallied on the idea that China-U.S. trade talks were persisting.
Wait, are you saying that algorithms actually scan like news articles or reports for keywords and then make trading decisions based on them?
Absolutely. You've literally got algorithms that scan the words and make a trade.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good to talk to you.
You too.
The growing competition for talent in a tight labor market has pushed companies to expand into places one might not immediately expect. The Milken Institute released its annual report ranking the nation's best performing cities, looking at exactly where job growth is happening in the U.S. From KUT in Austin, Marketplaces, Andy Euler has more.
Number three on the list is Austin, Texas. Dell's here and Apple's adding another 5,000 jobs soon. Number two, San Jose, close to Silicon Valley and a little cheaper than San Francisco. Number one, Provo, Utah.
Provo's really a good story.
Kevin Clowden is with the Milken Institute, which put out the study. He says Provo's model is
tech spinoffs and life science jobs that are looking to be in a lower cost location in a place where there's a lot of support from the local universities.
The Milken rating system is based on job creation, wage gains, and also where tech jobs end up. Jed Kolko is chief economist at the job site Indeed.com.
Tech trends tend to be especially visible.
Remember Amazon's HQ2 competition? City officials certainly do. But Kolko says there's a bunch of reasons companies set up shop where they do.
Cost and availability of workers, infrastructure in the area,
and cost of living, not to mention tax incentives from cities and states. In Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Both Ford and GM have recently announced plans to restructure, cutting jobs and closing plants. And electric car maker Tesla announced thousands of job layoffs last week to cut costs. But there are places where the U.S. automotive industry is doing pretty well. One of those places is the Kansas City region, which has two thriving plants. Marketplace Hub reporter KCUR's Peggy Lowe explains.
On the production line at Knapheide, four brand new transit cargo vans line up for some finishing touches. They were delivered from the Ford plant a few miles away.
And the assembly line starts at this back door and runs all the way down.
Mike Muller is Knapheide's general manager. Workers are doing what's called upfitting, which means they're outfitting new vans and pickup trucks with shelving, reflective decals, anything the consumer wants. Mueller says their specialty is a work-ready mobile office.
So this truck right here would act as a supervisor's truck for a job site. He's got his essentials, GPS, strobe lights, toolbox, ladder rack, and accessories.
Two plants here, one Ford, the other GM, have attracted other companies and jobs. The economic impact is about $12 billion, according to the Kansas City Area Economic Development Council. And that's just another reason cities want auto plants. Mark Wakefield, a Detroit analyst with Alex Partners, a global consulting company, says plants create an instant ecosystem of businesses.
If you can get that big car plant to go in, and actually hopefully a pickup truck plant or SUV plant, that's a one-time shot, and then you get all of this surrounding multiplier effects.
But notice that Wakefield says it all depends on what kind of vehicle is being made. Ford makes the F-150 here, the best-selling pickup in the U.S. It also makes the Transit in Kansas City. That's a cargo van introduced in the U.S. in 2013. Sales grew last year more than 8%. 17 of the companies connected to the plants, key drivers of Kansas City's automotive industry, are located underground, literally.
This is Subtropolis.
Michael Bell is a VP with Hunt Midwest, the company that owns Subtropolis. It's a huge industrial park carved into the bluffs along the Missouri River, filling up space left over from limestone mining. Bell says of the 55 companies operating underground,
one of our fastest growing industries over the past 5 years has been automotive.
But it's not all good news here. Sales of sedans are on the skids. GM makes Chevy Malibus in Kansas City, and those sales are down. Now GM is looking to the Cadillac XT4, which it began building here last year. In Kansas City, I'm Peggy Lowe for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.